our future,
if you take our future,
we'll take your life.
We'll take your life.
Welcome to another installment of Radio Werewolf, right here on RadioWerewolf.com. I'm your host for tonight, Dion. It's January 12th, 2016. Hope you guys had a good Tuesday. Stayed out of the fucking cold. It's getting kind of ridiculous, but it is January, so you gotta deal with it as always. One thing I wanted to bring up, I mentioned this on Saturday's show. There is a new show. He actually just put one out today. It's from Racial Observer. If you go to TalkShoe, you can find Racial Observer. But I think I forgot to mention on Saturday's show. I might have mentioned it. I don't really remember if I did or not. He does have a website. You can go to racialobserver.com. He's got a bunch of different stuff over there. He's got a reading part over there. You can look at different PDFs of books and speeches and all that stuff. Pretty good website. I encourage you guys to check it out. Actually, in fact, I've been thinking about putting up a link section on the site. Now that I kind of expanded the front page where we have the featured broadcasts over on the left side, I figured I was going to put a bunch of links up It's a website to help us out, who help promote the site, stuff like that. Maybe some of the guests we've had on the network. But more importantly, what I wanted to do is help promote the websites that promote us. Like Rachel Observer put a link up to our site recently. You know, we got Hooli's blog. Everybody knows Hooli's blog, I hope. It's a lot better than that place he used to be at. Which seems like it's going to be pretty much dead from now on. Well, there's other sites, too. There's InfoWarp and White World Media. There's a lot of sites that help promote this website and help promote our shows. Oh, Helpful Tidbits. That's another one I was going to mention. They put up all Blackbird stuff. So, big thanks to them. But like I said, recently I added the featured broadcast part of the main page. Make it easier for people to find. You know, I figured it was pretty easy to find. If you know, it's right there on the left side. You just click on the name of the show and you find the archives. But apparently that's too goddamn difficult for some people. So I had to put it on the front page so people can see it, people can find it. And I noticed it helps a lot, because that page, or the that page where I took the RSS feed from, has like double the hits of all the other pages. So it's like apparently it was too hard for people to figure out to click on the fucking name. But, yeah, so that's what I've been doing lately. I am going to do more work on the suggested reading site. I know I said I was going to do it Sunday, but the old lady had me doing a bunch of stuff, so I really wasn't online too much on Sunday. You guys know how that goes. You guys who don't kidnap women and bury them in the ground. Or underground, not in the ground, underground. You don't keep them in holes in the ground. You know how that works out. Goddamn women want you to take them shopping and stuff. Fucking Jews ruin our lives, making us take women shopping. What do you mean, define stuff? I'm not sure what he means by that. Oh. Okay, now I get it. All right. Anyways, so I'll get to my topic tonight. And actually, no, not that kind of stuff. I had to take her grocery shopping, and then she had to go to this store and the other friggin' store. And then she didn't want to drive her car because it was snowing that day. And she hates driving in the snow. And since I got a big old SUV, I got to chaperone her all over the damn place to get her girly crap. But it was okay. It wasn't a big deal. All right. So what was I going to get into tonight? So I kind of been thinking about this for, I don't know, maybe like a month now. And I've been trying to figure out how to piece it all together and put it together for a broadcast. It's kind of something I've been playing around with in my head. And I kind of realized, up to this point, all the shows I've been doing is, I've been kind of just playing it safe. I've been doing what I thought people wanted to hear, what I thought people would want to hear from a pro-white broadcast. And, you know, I try to educate people, but it was always in a nice constructed box. I didn't really step out of that box, and I didn't really let my own interests and ideas come through too much. I kind of just played the old stereotype card, I guess. So, from now on, that's going to fucking change, because this is my network and I'll do whatever the fuck I want. But I know you guys will enjoy it. Hopefully. You know, I figured, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. We kind of We worry too goddamn much about what our enemies are doing. It's like a fucking broken record. We can sit here and complain about Jews and Groids and Mestizos and whoever the hell else, feminists and all this bullshit. We all know that. Everybody fucking knows that already. So I'm just preaching to the choir and sounding like a goddamn broken record like every other show out there. You know, we don't spend enough goddamn time talking about who we are, who our people really are, and where we should be going. You know, there's not enough emphasis on us. We got to sit here and worry about the Jews and all this bullshit. Well, I'm sick of fucking hearing about the goddamn Jews. I already know everything about the goddamn Jews I need to know. I mean, you know, it's great to know about history and this and that. In current events, make me want to punch a little kittens. I mean, the only reason I even really talk about that too much is no, I did not stop by the Piggly Wiggly, and we did not get can of salmon. I've never had canned salmon in my life. That just doesn't sound good. Blackbird 9 in the chat room giving me crap. Can of salmon. Anyways, so like I was saying, we spend too much time worrying about the Jews, worrying about fucking 9/11. If I hear about 9/11 one more goddamn time, Jesus fucking Christ, that was, what, fucking 15 years ago. You're still going to bring that shit up like nobody knows about it yet? And if they don't know about it yet, they're not going to be listening to this show. They're not going to listen to shows like this. So we all know this crap already, and just spouting off the same bullshit over and over again, and kind of, it's getting tiring to me. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of dealing with it, because we know it. We all fucking know it. It's not that hard to comprehend that. You know, I know all our listeners here, especially the people who listen to my show, are goddamn smart enough to know what's going on. We don't have to sit here and baby spoon feed you information about fucking crap you already know about. And half the time you guys know about this shit better than I do. So I'm just sitting here running my fucking gums for no reason at all. But, you know, we always talk about people being awake. And I think what we really need is a true awakening. A true Aryan awakening. Whether it's spiritual, cultural, mental, political, you know, everything, an all-encompassing awakening. And I'm not going to act like I got all the fucking answers, because I don't. And like I said earlier, this is kind of a work in progress. This is kind of the introduction of what I'm going to be doing in the future more often. You know, I still talk about Jews occasionally, and Groids and Mestizos and all those other mud fucks that we don't want around us. But I'm not going to put so much goddamn emphasis on it, because we already know it. And there's no reason for me just to keep going over and over again 100 fucking million times every week. Okay, so like I said, I don't have all the goddamn answers. This is a work in progress. And over the next coming weeks, maybe not next week, I might have a guest. And it'll be more clear. I'll put more things out in perspective where I want to go with this. But like I said, we must adopt like an Aryan spiritual awakening, a true revolutionary mindset. And that's the main focus of what I'm doing, is a revolutionary mindset. We're too goddamn fucking reactionary, worrying about what the fucking muds and the Jews are doing. We know they're the enemy. We know they do the most destructive, despicable, degenerate fucking shit that makes you want to go out and beat the shit out of somebody. We know that. It happens a million times. It's going to keep happening until we fucking do something about it. We know every facet of this fucking structure in which we live is out to destroy us. every fucking institution and everything else is out to fucking destroy us. I can't even fucking convey into words how completely fucked up this system is. And we all fucking know it. And like I said, I feel that sometimes we're too reactionary. We're worried about the fucking rape UGs and commie Merkel and what Obama's fucking doing. Like it fucking matters. In a fucking year, nobody's going to remember any of that shit anyways. Well, it does matter, but it doesn't matter so much as we got to keep fucking harping it on all the time. Because we know this. We don't need to keep talking about shit we already know. And that's what I was getting at. The other reason why I'm going in this different direction is because if you really think about it, for the past 50 years, the pro-white struggle or movement or whatever the hell you want to call it, it's been spinning its fucking wheels. It has gotten nowhere in like the last 50 years. Sure, in like the last 5 years, it's gotten better. Especially after Bob Whitaker came out with the white genocide meme, it seemed to put our struggle in perspective more for the people that were already in it and for the people who found out about it later, especially through the truth movement. And I think that's why a lot of times we delve into this stuff a little more than we should. That's another thing I'm going to stop doing, is this whole fucking truth movement bullshit. Fine, it's great. We know the media lies. But you know what? There's like a million other fucking shows out there you can hear about it. I don't have to keep fucking telling you about it. The media fucking lies. Half the stuff you see on the news is bullshit, or they made up something. And I don't know about all that crisis actor shit and planes or no planes and all that crap. I've never even really cared about any of that. But like I always said about 9/11, I don't care how they did it. All I care is who did it. And that's the only part that ever really mattered to me. So all that truther stuff, I'm not going to do that anymore either. I'm not going to get into that anymore because, like I said, you want to hear about it, there's like a million other goddamn shows to talk about it. Excuse me. All right. So the other reason, besides spinning our goddamn wheels for 65 years, like Cy said, I just picked 50 because it was a good even number. I figured since, it would have been 65. Yeah. Anyways, I was figured since the Civil Rights Movement, which everything has gone downhill, gone downhill from there considerably, you know, since then. So, yeah, it's been about 65 years. Anyways, the other thing that kind of gets on my nerves a lot is it seems like we have this mindset that we're told to believe. I'm trying to think about how to explain this. It's like we're supposed to have a certain type of mindset. You have to believe what's inside this little fucking box. And you better not think outside that box at all, or else you're a Jew, or you're a shill, or you're a... well, not a Fed, but... it's like we're all supposed to believe the same exact things, and if you believe something different than somebody else believes, then you're a fucking moron, and nobody should listen to you, and you're just a fucking jackass who doesn't know what he's talking about, and nobody should listen to you again. Like, for example, so there's one thing I've always agreed with Tom Metzger on, and it kind of gets lost on some people, I think. Tom Metzger actually believes that this struggle is more of a class struggle than it actually has to do with race. So Tom Metzger, Groids and mestizos and Jews don't really matter. the main problem is the entire system. It doesn't matter who controls it. The fucking system just has to come down regardless. And that's pretty much the same thing Keith Preston was saying last week. It doesn't matter who the fuck is in charge. It doesn't matter. The fact is the fucking system is a corrupt piece of shit and needs to be torn the fuck down. So that's actually pretty much the same line of thinking Tom Metzger's always had. And that's why he was always called a leftist. And William Pierce even used to refer to him as that little Bolshevik. It's because Tom Metzger felt this was more of a class struggle. And in some ways it is, in some ways it's not. I agree with him, but not to the extent that he puts it out there. Not to the extent that he feels it's important. You know, you hear people say that shit all the time about, you know, the bankers or the corporations or whatever. You know, we know there's Jews at the top. Jews control pretty much the entire financial system. But you can also people say, oh, there's white people up there too. Yeah, there is. But they're fucking white race traders and should be hung with their fucking hook-nosed buddies. So in some ways, it is kind of the same and it is kind of not. But anyways. All right. So I did have one piece of audio I was going to play. It's, let's see. Get back to the studio here. I got one piece of audio. This is actually called National Revolution. It's by Kia Muros. It's a pretty good piece of audio. Like I said on Blog Talk, I can't really pause it to comment on it, so I'll have to comment on it afterwards. It's like 15 minutes long. I hope you guys enjoy this.
This is war. Make no mistake about it. This is the most ferocious and merciless war our planet has ever seen. This is a relentless war of survival, a bitter struggle over living space and natural resources. In this war, races and civilizations clash, and in the final analysis, what is truly at stake is none other than world domination. This war is fought every day, and it affects every aspect of our lives. This war is fought in the media, as our elite pollutes our minds with shameless lies, trying to make us accept unconditional surrender in the face of rampant masses swarming to Europe. This war is fought in the academic world, as the malicious, perverted intellectuals who preach self-hatred and guilt are seducing us to welcome death and extinction in order to make room for the ever-swelling masses of hostile aliens. This war is fought in the realm of global economy, as the parasitical capitalist upper class and its managerial lackeys force us to embrace unemployment, poverty, and death as progress, only so that these shysters can keep on stealing our national wealth and enrich themselves at our expense. This war is fought in the bloody confrontations in our streets and town squares, as our people are being attacked by gangs of predatory immigrants waging an open race war against us. This war is fought throughout our life, as we are constantly bombarded by the growing demands of the new economy, new society, and the new world order. This war may have escaped the attention of the liberals. The leftists may deny that there is any war at all. But this war is a gruesome reality that affects us all, whether we accept to see it or not. Those who think they don't have to get involved, who believe that they can turn their back to all this, pretend that nothing is happening and stay neutral, are already in this mess, just as deep as the rest of us. This war is fought at every level of our existence, and should we lose, the result would be the total destruction of European civilization, an unprecedented collapse of everything that can be perceived as normal and decent life. New dark ages with no hope nor salvation in sight. We have become victims of our success. The Industrial Revolution and the Scientific Revolution, both initiated by the ingenious European race, have now turned against us. They have spread into the developing world and opened the Pandora's box of population explosion. Now, as a result, we have to deal with mass immigration, ecological crisis, the depletion of natural resources, crime and chaos in an unprecedented scale. Our success made us lazy, complacent and naive. We lost the ability to understand and accept the harsh realities of life. We refused to see facts as they are and choose to believe in comforting fairy tales. And when we do crash into the cruel reality, we nurse ourselves with the sweet lies our elite so willingly offers us. But the truth is that our entire life has become a battlefield, and at this moment, we are still losing. We have become slaves of the monsters we created. Capitalism, industrialization, and scientific revolution have now morphed into multinational corporations, finance conglomerations, and secretive globalist organizations that have taken over our societies. Within our lifetime closes the great cycle in history, the cycle which started in the 14th century when Europeans embarked on the great explorations overseas, started to unravel the mysteries of nature, and the epoch of European dominance began. We conquered the world, and now the world, the third world, is about to conquer us. This is indeed an unprecedented constellation in European history, something we haven't experienced in centuries. During the last few decades, we've come face to face with the fact that we are not on top of the global food chain anymore. The hunters have now become the hunted. Those who used to dominate are now being dominated. We are not masters of our fate anymore. However, this dramatic fall from grace is not necessarily a bad thing at all. This new situation is the long-needed rude awakening to the harsh realities of life. This new situation forces us to rethink our priorities and rediscover those qualities that made us so powerful in the past. This new situation challenges us to refine and strengthen our competitive edge, train the flapping muscles of our civilization to plan, to scheme, and to conspire. As a result, we will learn to pool our resources, synchronize our action, sharpen our wits, and organize ourselves to such a degree that when we finally make our decisive move in this great game, we will act as one, and we will strike with such force and move with such speed that the world will hold its breath. We will surprise our enemies, and we will surprise ourselves. After we have made our move, the world will not be the same anymore. The evolutionary struggle between civilizations is far from over. And if there is one thing absolutely certain in this world, it is that Europe will not perish. And all this we will achieve together. After our former power and glory has disappeared, all we have left is each other. So as you can see, Europe's current plight only works in our favor. Facing death and destruction together will unite us in a way that has not yet seen in our long history. How could anyone defeat Europe when we, for the first time in history, stand together? As pan-Europeans, we will not waste our time in arguing over the correct borders of some ancient feudal territories. As pan-Europeans, we will not waste our energy in reliving ancient ethnic conflicts that have somehow managed to survive to this day. As pan-Europeans, we refuse to be dragged down to the level of petty chauvinistic squabbles that for so long have sapped Europe's powers. Whatever happened in the past stays in the past. We refuse to be slaves of the past. As we rediscover our strength, we will turn our gaze upon our enemies, and we will come to the realization that indeed there are bigger fish to fry in this world than our past squabbles. Maybe you are now thinking that perhaps Europeans are already too civilized to fight for their place on this planet. Maybe you are thinking that perhaps the Europeans have already become too pacified to defend their rights. But I can assure you, even if 100 million Europeans refuse to take arms and defend their land, life and honor, we will always find 1 million who are determined to do so. And that, my friends, is more than enough to keep this process going and take it to its cataclysmic, brutal and victorious conclusion. The irony is that when we finally get the Europeans to fight, we have already won the war. And this is because our biggest enemy, in the end, is not the alien mob occupying our streets, but our unwillingness to do anything about it. Once we have helped our people to cross this psychological threshold, very soon they will be ready to do anything to drive out the enemy. And that is what we have been waiting for. The deciding battle of this war will be fought in the hearts and minds of the European people. We are dreamers and visionaries, while the liberals have become tired and scared. The liberals have lost the ability to dream and to evoke great emotions. All the liberals can do is to administer this ever-growing misery and desperately cling on to the remnants of their waning power. All that the liberals have left is the past and the crumbling illusion of being in control. All the liberals can give to people is threats. Threats of what will happen if people do not obey and yield to the demands of the elite. Liberals try to scare people, telling how they will suffer if they do not bow down before the rapacious institutions of global capitalism. Liberals try to shock people, telling how they will suffer if they do not surrender themselves completely and unconditionally to the forces of international finance. What the liberals fail to see is that our people are already suffering, and whatever they do, they will suffer even more in the future. All the liberals have in store for our people is more and more suffering, an endless cycle of suffering. Liberals warn people that if they turn their backs to the ever so wise elite and take no heed of its sound advice, a chaos will be unleashed. But what the liberals fail to understand that we have already reached the point when we welcome the chaos. For us, chaos holds a promise of a new and better world for us. For us, chaos is the dance of Shiva that destroys all that is corrupt, deformed, foul, and unfit to live. For us, chaos is a life-bringing force that is needed to recreate and rejuvenate the world. Like the spring follows the winter, new life will take root in the ruins of the old world. In nature, there's a season for everything, and now the time has come for the old world to die. Everything will be created anew. Our talented race will build a civilization which has no parallel in human history. We will surpass all our past achievements. Gods themselves will envy us for this opportunity to recreate the world better than ever, to bring into perfection what so long has been imperfect, and to unleash the greatness of our race. Our revolution is only the beginning of our future. The ramifications of our revolution will last for eons. Like a pebble thrown into water sends ripples to travel across time and space. Our revolution is the beginning of a process that will break the boundaries of time and space. Our idealism and fanatism will be the energy the new world feeds on. Our unyielding will, determination, and enthusiasm will transform our dreams into reality. Nothing is impossible to us. We will become masters of our fate. We will learn to know our true nature. We will rediscover our inner self. That Tvam Asi, that you are, will now finally become absolutely clear to us. Our dreams are nightmares to our enemies. We are believers, and our enemies are left with desperation. We have faith, they will have fear. No matter how the liberals try to deny it, we are already in their nightmares. No matter how they try to resist, deep down they already see their own demise. Uneasiness turns into worry, and worry into full-blown panic. The liberals can already see this path before them. When the liberals try to warn people about us, they always paint a picture of a sinister, relentless, and cunning movement, a force of nature more like, that feeds on the turmoil, desperation, anger, and hardship the liberals themselves have thought about but cannot cure. In short, the liberals subconsciously already admit that they are the disease and we are the cure. But indeed, terrible things will be done. And that will be our burden and the greatest sacrifice of our generation. The spearhead of our movement will see and do things that cannot be discussed afterwards. Those who know more than others will bear this knowledge in their hearts and carry it into their graves. What must be done will be done, so that Europe can live. In the end, seemingly against all odds and to the horror of the powers that be, Europe endures, Europe survives, and Europe triumphs. Europe will be mercilessly purified and purged, and not a stone will be left unturned in order to find the criminals responsible for the debasement of our civilization. In order for Europe to survive, we will take the great lead beyond good and evil. Our conduct cannot be judged by the ethics of the day. Our actions will not be guided by the moral code of a weak and suicidal civilization. In order for Europe to survive, we will plunge into the unknown. We will sail uncharted waters, wrestle with alien gods, and shake the foundations of the earth. Europe's answer to external threats is not defense, but outrageous expansion. We will not sit idly by and wait to be overridden by barbarians. We carry the war into enemy territory. We demand absolute equality to all Europeans. We demand that the honor of the European people will be restored. We demand work, housing, protection of the law, and respect for all Europeans. We do not tolerate that our people do not have enough to eat, that they have to sleep in the streets, that they have no means to take care of their families, and that the liberal elite has denied them the right to a decent and respectable life. We do not tolerate that every day our people are being attacked by wild gangs of alien thugs the liberal elite has invited in. We do not tolerate that our people in their own native countries have to live in fear of foreign career criminals. We do not tolerate that our people, despite of their hospitality and kindness, are still constantly ridiculed, mocked, derided and vilified by malicious and perverse red intellectuals, academic parasites, spiritual enemies of Europe. And all this with the obliging help from the liberal media. It is totally unacceptable that Europeans have become slaves of the global capitalist mafia, that Europeans are being extorted and bled dry by international financial gangsters. It is totally unacceptable that these shameless scam artists have been given the right to take over our lives, steal our jobs, and expropriate our future. We place our hope in the young people of Europe. The new European youth will forsake the obsolete and stifling values they have been force-fed by the decaying society. The new youth will cast off all the wrong teachings, false dogmas, and lies the degenerating system has used to brainwash them. The new youth will create a movement of European fundamentalism. The new youth will ferociously pursue European interests on a world scale. We will not be insulted anymore, we will not be pushed around anymore, and we will not be abused anymore. The new European youth will be impatient, intolerant, and insatiable when it comes to defending Europe's honor. The prime directives for the new European youth will be command and conquer, seek and destroy. We can see it now clearly. This is war. A war of economic and social sabotage against the European people. A war of ethnic cleansing and physical replacement against the European people. An intellectual and emotional blackmail in order to subdue the Europeans. But I can assure you, we refuse to be at the receiving end of the stick for very long anymore. Soon Europe awakes, and when that day comes, then finally, the storm breaks loose.
All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed that little piece of audio I played there. And the main reason I played that was because he does lay out pretty good in a nice little concise package about what we're actually dealing with. And like I said before, we all fucking know what we're dealing with. We don't have to go through this a million fucking times. And the point is just a broken record. I could sit up here and do the same show every fucking week and nobody would care. Nobody would know the fucking difference. And the other thing that he went through is we do need a real revolutionary mindset. We can't sit here and listen to these fucking leftists, to these Marxists, dictate to us how we're supposed to feel about things and how we're supposed to react to these situations. And that's the one thing I'm really trying to get across. It is just not political, like I said before. It's not just political. It's fucking, it's mental. It's spiritual. It's all-encompassing. Your entire fucking being has to enrage this Aryan revolutionary spirit. And the other thing that he was saying that it really kind of hit me how we have to, we can't use the same thought patterns and mindsets like we have in the past. You know, one thing that's always got on my nerves a little bit is this fucking Hitler worship, and I know people are going to get pissed off at me about this, and I don't care. These fucking people who think we have to come back to the Third Reich and wait for a new fucking Fuhrer. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to fucking happen. And, you know, if a new Fuhrer did, half you fucking people would sit here and talk shit about him anyways. Like, you know, like everybody else in this goddamn struggle. Everybody else that does shows or puts out videos, There's always somebody talking shit about him. So even if the new Fuhrer did come, half the people would talk about what a piece of crap he is, and he's probably a dick bag or something. Or he'd be trying to raise all this money, getting money from the bankers. Then you'd all sit there and shit on him all day. But, so like I said, we do need to stop being so goddamn reactionary all the time. And one thing I've always had a problem with, too, is there's this mindset, especially nowadays, because a lot of people don't study these things or look into these things, that you either have to be left or right. You know, they consider us right-wing extremists all the fucking time. And I'll wear that goddamn term like a badge of honor. I've made jokes about it in the past and all that stuff. I got no problem with that. But the point is, part of their programming is they try to put people in extremes all the time. Just like they do with the fucking jihadists over there. You know, they just can't be just some regular douchebag Muslims. No, they got to sit there and have this completely extreme point of view where they got to go out and fucking stone women and kill the infidel. They'd go out and kill the infidel and all this bullshit. Because they do that with everybody. They do the same damn programming everywhere they go. If you look at today, especially in this country, it's a little bit different in Europe because they do have different political parties. But a lot of people in this country, especially, we only have two political parties. So you only can be a Republican or a Democrat. If you're anything other than that, then you're just a fucking weirdo and you're just throwing your vote away and all this bullshit, which is a bunch of crap. And people have this same mindset where if they get to a point, especially with the media that we have today, where we got this news cycle that's 24/7, and then you'll have channels like MSNBC and the Communist News Network and Fucked News and all that other crap, where people get so goddamn paralyzed by their own supposed ideology, which they don't even know what the hell they believe anymore. They just believe whatever the talking heads on these fucking shows tell them to believe, or they get their news from Facebook or Twitter or some crap like that. They can't read anything that's more than 100 words at a time. And they're like, oh my God, it's too long to fucking read. Actually, Wolf Wall Street just put a good thing in there. And actually, I'm not going to get into that tonight. Because like I said, this is just the introduction to some things I've been thinking about, some things I've been working on. But like Wolf Wall Street put there in the chat room, the political positions, the first one is capitalism, or in other words, it's the right wing. Or the second position is communism, or in other words, left wing. So the third position is various. It's neither capitalism nor communism. You know, you can put national socialism in there, and you can also put in anarchism and, you know, a bunch of different stuff, both of which fight against capitalism and communism. And then the fourth position, which is what Wolf of Wall Street names his show, which I will actually get to in a future show, but I'm not actually going to get into that much tonight. It goes beyond those three. It goes beyond capitalism, communism, and they say the third position is actually fascism, which is debatable. It's true, but it's not, because you could put different subsects of like the left in there too. But we'll just say it's fascism. Fascism and anarchism you can put in the third position. But fourth position goes beyond those three. And that's what I'm actually going to get into. Probably, like I said, probably not next week, because I'll most likely have a guest on next week. So the week after that, I'll get into third position, and I'll get into fourth position. And like I said, this isn't only political, but I'll start with the politic aspect of it first, because that's One, what I know. I know political history. I know political science and all that crap. That's actually what I went to college for until I realized I wasn't going to get a fucking job studying that, except being a writer, writing a bunch of books nobody's going to fucking read anyways. Or I can be a professor, which I didn't want to do anyways, or do either. I didn't want to do that either, and I didn't want to do either, if that makes sense. God, I got to stop watching the chat room. You guys are making me laugh. Anyways, so yeah, like I said, I'll get into the third position and fourth position and explain what these things are. All right, if anybody wants to call in, I'm just kind of babbling right now before I get to the rest of my notes. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 929-477-3574. All right. So I'll get back to these notes here. So like I said, they try to fit you in a little box and tell you what you're supposed to believe. That's the other thing I was going to bring up before I get into these. Like I said on Blackbird's show, his very first show when he had me on, when he asked me who I am, or one of those questions. And I said I'm a white nationalist, but I don't really like that term anymore because it doesn't mean anything. You know, technically all white nationalist means is that you want a white homeland. That's all it really means. You could be a fucking communist white nationalist, Buddhist, I don't know, lesbian. It doesn't matter. You know, I know people are going to argue with me, oh, that's not true. Yeah, it kind of is. As long as you believe in a homeland for the white race, you're a white nationalist. Anybody can call himself a white nationalist. It doesn't really mean anything. You can be a transsexual whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to go into a bunch of examples about it because you get the point. You can be any goddamn thing you want, but as long as you believe in a white homeland, that's all that really matters. Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, Blackbird said here in the chat room, I guess left and right mean nothing when the enemy is at the door. And that's kind of the reason I had Keith Preston on last week. You know, a lot of people want to piss him off. Oh, he's an anarchist. He's more right-wing than he is left-wing. And he always apologizes for it and makes excuses for it. Because, oh, I believe in this and the left-wing, like, I don't know, pro-choice or whatever, and environmentalism. Well, we're all fucking really for environmentalism. Deep down, we're all for environmentalism. We're just not for the environmental movement and the bullshit carbon tax crap and all that shit that they try to push on us. We all want clean air and clean water and all that happy jazz. We all want that. But sitting here saying how the earth is going to collapse unless we do something about global warming or global cooling or global whatever the hell it is, because they can't make up their fucking minds because they're fucking lying through their asses, which we all know that. That's pretty self-explanatory. The thing is, though, what was my point? I totally forgot what I was talking about because I started going off about those stupid-ass environmentalist dickbags. Get on my nerves. All right, anyways, oh, that was the point I was going to make. So, yeah, one of the reasons I had Keith Preston on last week is because I don't care who the hell you are. If you're willing to tear down this goddamn system, you're okay with me. And that's the point. The point is tearing down this fucking system. The system that is completely out to destroy our people. Like I said earlier, we all know this. Their entire system is out to fucking kill us. If they're not trying to fucking kill us outright through their food and the medical system and immigration and all this crap, then they're fucking trying to steal the only thing we have to actually live off of is fucking money, unless you're going to go out and people or rob and rape and some shit like that, like some people would like to do. You know, and then they're going to fucking try to tax you to death and inflation through the goddamn roof and all the other happy horse shit that we all fucking know about already. So anyways, So this entire goddamn system we live under is trying to fucking kill us. And we all know it's the Jews. How many fucking times do we got to say Jew? We know it. People here fucking know it. The people who listen to my show, the people in this chat room, the people who come to this site, fucking know the deal. We don't need to sit here like a goddamn broken record talking about the fucking Jew every fucking day. We know they're fucking scumbags. And we know the oppressive system that they've created to take the shit over. We know this. We don't have to keep fucking harping on it. Okay, we all know it's a fucking Jew. Everybody here knows the situation. They know the deal. They know the history. They know everything about it. Everybody here knows what's going on. So we don't have to sit here and harp about it. We don't have to go about the history and all this crap. What we got to do is start focusing on ourselves and our polo shirts and our khaki pants and figure out a way to expand our own philosophies and our own mindsets in order to get out of this fucking situation we're in. That's the main problem. This fucking situation we're in. How are we going to get out of it? Well, we're not going to fucking vote our way out of it. That's obvious to anybody who's paying attention. We're certainly not going to fucking shoot our way out of it. You go and try that and tell me how that works out for you, but you're not going to fucking tell me because you're going to be in prison and you're going to be fucking dead. And on top of that, then the rest of the fucking media is going to paint you and the rest of us like a bunch of fucking idiots, like they did with fucking Dylann Roof. So first thing we got to work on is inside of ourselves. And like I said, it's got to be cultural, mental, spiritual, political, every fucking thing. And the main thing I was trying to focus in on tonight, like I said, this is an introduction of stuff I'm going to be talking to you guys on future shows about, is we got to get out of this mindset. And I'm going to keep harping on this point. We got to get out of the fucking mindset that's been forced upon us by our enemies more than anybody else. We also kind of do it to ourselves because that's the way we're still kind of programmed. You know, I know a lot of people, we know about the Jews and the true history of what happened and, you know, all that truther stuff that I'm not going to get into anymore and and all that stuff. We all know about it. Still kind of programmed where we have to fit our mindsets and our mentalities in these little boxes, which is another thing that's always got on my nerves. And the fact is, what we have to do, or what I think we should, no, what we have to do, I'm not going to say what I think we should do is this. No, fuck that. It's my fucking show. I'll say whatever the hell I want. If what we have to do is break out of that and break out of these little boxes and expand the way we think about things and the way we solve problems and all that other happy crap. Because right now what we do is we take a look back at history, and that's one of our main problems too, is we look back at history, we romanticize about it, and like, oh, if we could just do what they did in 1930 Germany, everything will be fucking hunky-dory. Well, here's fucking newsflash for you, people. It's not fucking 1930s Germany, and what they did back then is not going to help us now. It's good to think about. It's good to know about. Okay, Bob, actually, you didn't come in at the beginning of the show, and that was kind of my point. We know about the Jews. And people who come to this show, people who come to this website, the people in the chat room know about the Jews. Others do not, like you said here in the chat room. The point is, those people aren't coming here. Some might, I don't know. But I think the core group of people we got here already know. And if they don't know, they'll figure it out soon enough. Because like I said, I'm not going to stop talking about the Jews. But I don't think we need to be harping it all the time because we already know it. And I keep repeating myself and it's getting on my nerves. Anyways, all right. So one thing I did want to bring up. So that whole left-right thing where you got to have one extreme to the other. And we know what the left believes and what they think and all that happy crap. But what they actually do is completely different because they got this, you know, this egalitarian mindset and the Jew think, and the socialism and the cultural Marxism and critical theory and all that other happy horse crap. Okay, here's a good example. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. You talk about the fucking Republicans, right? So they want to talk about, oh, they're for a smaller government and cutting taxes and I don't know, whatever else. Well, theory, that sounds good. And in practice, it's fucking horrible because they don't do it. In the Republican base still touts these fucking lies, still says the same shit. They don't actually even, they've never done any of that. They never made government smaller cutting Texas. Yes, they were cutting Texas. Texas is too goddamn big. Plus, half of it's Mexican anyway. Just give the fucking state back to Mexico. I'm kidding. Don't give fucking Texas back to Mexico. Anyways. So, yeah, they're all talking about cutting taxes, making the government smaller and all this crap. But they never do any of it. But the base still sits there and spouts off these fucking talking points like it's true. And it's an absolute lie. And, in fact, they want to sit here and say, oh, Obama wants to give the fucking Mexicans amnesty. Oh, that's horrible. Well, your fucking Lord and Savior Ronald Reagan gave the goddamn Mexicans amnesty back in the 80s. Like, oh, that was different. Bullshit, that wasn't different. That was fucking amnesty. But they'll still talk these fucking lies and these talking points like there's a fucking truth. And they don't know any better. They have no idea. And the left is just as bad, and they're just as fucking stupid. Actually, the left is more truthful about what they're trying to do. The left is more out there and in your face, and they don't really care what you think. I mean, they push fucking train. This fucking, what's that guy that 60-year-old fucking tranny dude who thinks he's a 9-year-old girl. They throw that in your face like it's fucking great and normal and we gotta be all progressive and all this horse shit. War is absolutely ridiculous. To the point where normal American citizens can see that this is just fucking weird. And it's not right, and it's crazy. But the left doesn't care. They don't care what you think. Oh, you're a transphobic or some stupid crap like that. And they just keep pushing. And, like, you know, they get a little bit. They got gay marriage now. I don't know what the hell the next thing is going to be. Everybody keeps saying it's going to be pedophilia, which I really don't doubt because you had that goddamn article in Salon, that fucking rag, about how pedophiles are people too, or whatever the hell that was. That was a bunch of crap. So it wouldn't really surprise me if they start pushing that pedophile shit too. Or bestiality or some fucking weird crap like that. But you know what? They don't give a shit if it bothers you. They don't give a shit if it bothers normal people. They just keep pushing that crap. No, they'll do the pedophile thing before they'll do the bestiality thing. Because, you know, little kids, they need love too. They're just people like everybody else. They'll, trust me, they'll fucking push that crap and act like it's normal and good, and they'll get some fucking lefty psychologist to go along with him that, oh, it's not a mental disease and all this crap. All right. So I've been pretty much rambling here. I haven't been rambling. But you guys get the point. I'm actually going to take a little break here. See, I'll play a song. Actually, I like this song. So I'm going to play DJ Panderfaust. This is White Revolution.
White Revolution is the only solution. White Revolution is the only solution. White Revolution. is the only solution. White revolution is the only solution. White revolution is the only solution.
Welcome back to Radio Werewolf. I'm your host, Dion, right here on RadioWerewolf.com. Well, actually, Cy brought up a pretty good idea in the chat room. Maybe we do need a think tank, because we got all these people, they got all these different ideas about we got to do this, we got to do that, and a lot of people are pretty set in their goddamn ways. If you don't agree with them 100%, you're a fucking idiot, and nobody should listen to you ever, and that's the kind of thinking that's pretty standard in our goddamn struggle, and I don't know why that is. I've never really figured that out, and I care to figure that out, but it's always one thing that always bothers me. It's like, oh, we gotta can't listen to that guy because he said one fucking thing stupid, so he's a complete asshole and never listen to him again, which is fine. So instead of rambling here all night, I suppose I can get back to my notes here. In today's world, you know, a lot of people, they sense something is wrong. You know, they don't know what it is. They can't figure it out. You know, you see all these damn polls that 65% of the white people are pissed off about taxes or immigration or whatever the hell else it is. Even more than that, it was like 80% don't trust the media. But they're going to keep fucking listening to it, and they're going to keep watching the shit because they don't know any better. They don't know anything else. They don't have any outside reference to anything. And that's the other reason that we don't get more people coming to our side than we do, because they've been brainwashed their whole entire fucking lives, especially whites, that if you believe a certain way, if you look out after your own people, you're an evil racist motherfucker. You're like one step up from a child molester. And that's the goddamn truth of the fucking matter. I mean, you can spin it any other way, but being a racist is pretty much got almost the worst damn thing you can do in today's society. according to the Jews and the Jew media. So sitting there complaining about fucking Jews all the time has gotten us where? It's gotten us nowhere. We all know the situation. We know what's going on. We got to move past that. Yes, Bob, it's us. So why fucking talk about the fucking Jews all the time? Let's worry about what we're doing, what we can do to move on to get out of this situation. And that's the point of the show, and that's the point I'm moving on forward from here. I don't give a shit what's going on in the media or any of that crap anymore. We got to figure out how we're going to fix this from our point of view to get past this situation. So harping about the fucking Jews all the time does nobody good because we know it. So everybody knows that the goddamn governments are going bankrupt and people are getting poorer all the fucking time. And there's a constant erosion of liberties and economic freedoms. And it's all kind of painted as this price of progress by these fucking hucksters who keep selling this big lie of socialism. You know, they don't call it socialism. They call it social progress or all this other crap. And it's pretty clear that we're being looted nowadays for these fucking banksters, which it doesn't even matter to the point of, I don't know, I was going somewhere with that. Anyways, so the control of the federal government is auctioned off every election cycle to the highest bidder. We all know that. That happens all the time. That's why I always say we're not going to vote our way out of this. So the average citizen really has no representation, and everybody fucking knows it. Even these douchebag Republicans and the douchebag Democrats know it. They all really know it except for, I don't know, the pie in the sky, head in the clouds, social justice warrior types. You don't care. They just want to tear down the fucking system that was made before they were born and piss and moan about white privilege and white guilt and all that other crap and oppressed minorities, even though they're in the majority. So, you know, it comes to a point where it seems like people are lacking hope and stuff. And that's what we really got to move past, because we still have hope. We have hope within ourselves. And when I say we need a revolutionary movement, I'm not talking about fucking mail bombs and shooting motherfuckers, because that's not going to work. You're going to end up dead. Most likely you'll end up dead, or you'll end up in jail. And I don't want to go to fucking jail, because I can't sit there and listen to somebody tell me what to fucking do every day, all day. I'm a completely anti-authoritarian person. I can't stand people telling me what to do. So there's no way I'd fucking handle being in jail. I'd be in the hole the whole time, or fighting with a guard or something. So not long ago, America was a shining example of strength and self-sufficiency. So this country, it was started as a place for people who valued freedom over comfort. They took risks and had some pretty good years under the system. And even some people went through a lot of hardships to get over here. Now the old world kind of tried to follow us over here and dull us with the old ideas of empire and security and prosperity, and place us under tribute to pay for it. Now the empire, it was kind of chased off the continent during the revolution. The American Revolution. So these men who actually fought for the American Revolution, who prized honor, you know, those who knew that it was the sanction of their actions above all else. And that's the other thing. Actions speak louder than words. We've all heard that. And a lot of people don't actually live up to that statement. You know, they talk about this and that. But there's a lot of things we have to get back to. I'm talking about honor, courage, strength, all the old pagan ways. Because it was those core values that I think a lot of our people have lost, because part of the propaganda of this system today. You know, people don't even know what the word honor means half the fucking time. Nobody even really uses the word honor, and half of them don't even know what it means. So during the American Revolution, you know, these people, they were kind of led by men who took civic duty seriously, and they kind of participated in their local governments, because back then everything was more localized. Even, you know, up until the Civil War, everything was localized. You know, which the entire fucking country changed 180 degrees after, well, not after, kind of right before the Civil War. The whole goddamn country changed, and the federal government went out of control, which is how we got in this situation we're in now. So they took part in their own centralized community. And I think part of the other reason why, too, if you look back the way it was then, why it is so much different than it is now, because it was a lot harder for people to move, you know, different places. You know, you could go on horseback or whatever, and horse and buggy and all that crap. You didn't get into a car, and you can drive, you know, 1,000 miles in a day. They didn't really do that back then. They kind of just stayed put where they were. I mean, you know, you did have people going west, but the large amount of people who came to the United States really didn't do that too much. But actually, what I'm talking about now is the more revolutionary times, which I'm getting off topic. So they took part in their community, and there was an importance of networking, since for, you know, thousands of years, it was necessary for survival. Because you had small clannish tribal communities. And you can, you know, we don't really call them tribes anymore. But I think we need to get back to that mindset that we do have our own tribe. And we do have our own people who we have to look out for. And, I mean, you could talk about, this used to be this way, I don't know, like 100 years ago. It's not really that way anymore. But like smaller towns were very clannish. A lot of them were. And a lot of them were pretty tribal. You know, they didn't like outsiders coming in, and everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew it was everybody's business. And all. We've all heard that. But they were clannish and they were tribal, that they looked out for one another. That's why they didn't really trust outsiders coming in. You know, for example, the clans of Scotland, who were able to unite to drive out the English. You know, those tribes and clans of Scotland, they fucking hated each other. But as soon as the English came around, they all banded together and fought off the English. And then, you know, the majority of the people who settled in the southern United States were of Scottish descent. You know, they organized society in a manner that happened organically. And each generation had learned a little bit more, and, you know, they had to learn some lessons harder than others. But humans don't really change over time. You know, people like to say, oh, back in the Middle Ages, they maybe believed something stupid. At the same time, a lot of people now believe stupid shit. So it's not really that much different. You know, a lot of people that came over to the United States, you know, they talked about freedom and liberty and a chance to better your life and all this stuff. And people actually believe that. And back then, it actually did happen. It doesn't really happen much anymore because of the goddamn system we're under. And we were always, we'll always be affected with those who seek to gain power over us. Whether, you know, they're motivated by their own greed or ego or whatever it is, that's always going to happen. It's always happened through history. It's going to happen forever. You know, the weapons and the faces and the places change, but the motivations are pretty goddamn predictable, as are pretty much the results. Kind of picture a healthy tribal system where people live in relative peace and freedom. You know, we've all heard about that. And history shows there'll be an occasional rise of a movement or an empire that's bent on conquest, kind of like during the Roman Empire, where they went in and tried to take over the Germanic peoples that were just living there. So while your tribe can deter other tribes in your area from harming you, what if another group, possibly hostile, gains a new technology or unites, you know, with another tribe or another empire to come and take over your area? It's kind of a fatal flaw of the whole anarchy idea. So without a method to unify, you really can't have a method of defense. You can't really mount a defense or have a method of defense, because once one group of people maybe gets more members or they get a different technology or whatever, they're going to come take your ass over. It's the way of the world. It's the way it's always been. And that's the one problem I always really had with anarchy or anarchists, because if you have these small groups, what says that one group doesn't take over your group, which is actually what happened through history. Originally, you had these small little clannish tribes or whatever all over the world. It's all happened the same way all over the world. So then you get one tribe that gets bigger and they keep getting bigger. Like I said before, with the Romans trying to take over Germany, they try to take over England. Eventually, they were successful in England, but that's not really the point. So if you look at the history of the Americas, the Indians pretty much outnumbered us in the beginning. You know, what they didn't have was unity. You know, they all fell one by one. They all fell one by one, as you know, disease and all that crap. So this is why nationalism is actually essential to tribalism, because just because we have different tribes and different little clans doesn't mean we have to be separate from one another all the time, and it doesn't mean that we can't work together. So the one thing that I was really trying to explain in the second part here is that if we could somehow have tight-knit communities, kind of like we have here, we got a lot of people who come and go at certain times and maybe don't hang out here all the time, but we got a pretty good tight-knit group of people here that are here kind of pretty much all the time. So we got our people here, but that doesn't mean that we can't work outside of this system of RadioWerewolf.com and work with other people if there's another attack. All right, so here's one thing I wanted to get into, because I think a lot of these points are valid and it'll kind of explain where I'm going with this. You know, so a revolutionary, so here's the main focus. The main focus is to open up and reveal our true Aryan revolutionary strategies to better ourselves and our people as a whole. I went off on this big long tangent in the first hour, which actually really didn't matter. But anyways, so a revolutionary person kind of refers to someone that would have a major or sudden impact on society or those around him under some aspect of a human endeavor. You know, throughout history, there's been countless revolutionary people, you know, each one leaving their lasting effect on humanity because they thought of a new way to do things and a new way to express their ideas to the world. You know, you're talking about, you know, pretty much any of the religious leaders were all revolutionary thinkers. Hitler was a revolutionary thinker. You know, you could say Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the American side. No, there were a couple too. Benjamin Franklin wasn't too bad. But there's a lot of revolutionary thinkers that kind of went beyond the normal thought process of their day and came up with new ideas. And so, like these people, they took it upon themselves to discover a brand new way of life, which is actually what we need. We need a brand new way of life, which is the main crux of the matter here. You know, the successful ones lived on, you know, forever. We all know their names. We're talking about Jesus and all that crap, or Buddha or Krishna or whatever. When you're talking about religious leaders, or like Thomas Jefferson and Hitler and all those great men of history, right? So there's clearly something special about revolutionists, or rather something special, about what revolutionists represent. You know, today we have turned many historical figures into revolutionary icons, but the thing is, with that, a lot of what happened in history, or a lot of what people believe, is too commercialized. You know, they're going to put Che Guevara on a fucking shirt. Half these people don't even know what a tyrannical, murderous bastard he was. These people, the revolutionary thinkers, they're not really that much different than the rest of us. And there are things we can learn along the way that can shape the way we think about things to turn all of us into a revolutionary figure and to expand the mind, so to say, of how we can get past this situation. So, the first thing we have to do is live with a purpose, which I'm pretty sure we all do already. I mean, if you're here, if you're in this chat room, if you're listening to my voice, we all live with a purpose. We all know what the objective is. You know, revolutionary thinkers, they found something to live for in the actual idea. You know, this idea became the vehicle that transported them through their life. You know, ideas sprout when they're not around and spread while they're busy and live on long after they're dead. You know, standing for an idea is what sets revolutionary people apart. And it's actually what defines them. I mean, you can find yourself living for something bigger than you, which is what this movement is. We live for something that's, it may not happen in our lifetime. We don't know. It could happen tomorrow, but, or it could happen 100 years from now. But the point is, we're going to live for this idea regardless if it happens now or 100 years from now. So we draw on our own power from here so we can build a better future and help the future generations of our people, irregardless if it pays off for us now. And we don't actually have to wait for perfection. I think that's a lot of things people in this movement get all bent out of shape about too. So no idea is perfect. I know this goddamn show's not perfect because I was rambling and I was paying attention more to what people in the chat room were saying. But instead of going through my goddamn notes like I should have been the whole time. But anyways, so no idea is perfect. And that's why they exist in the mind, where they, you know, they get free. They're free to change and transform, and you can shape them better so you can explain them to the people better. You know, through the act of doing, revolutionary people have shown us powerful examples of manifesting their ideas. They don't, you know, they never start out, but over time and through progress, they expand the ideas. You know, you've got to change and adapt to certain situations and move towards your perfected idea, and it doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen if you work at it every fucking day. You know, we just can't sit around and wait for somebody to come and save us. We have to go out and save ourselves and our people. And the idea may not be perfect, but really that's the point. Because through the manifestation process, your ideas will be more redefined and perfected as time goes on. And, you know, you might think of an idea today and it may not work out best, but you'll learn from that idea or that mistake, and you can build upon that for the future, and maybe that will lead to a better idea, and so on and so forth. You get the point. And I think one of the problems we have, which is You know, a lot of people have doubts and they have worries of what others might think and what others might say. And I think that's a lot of our problem, too, is that people don't really like to think outside the box and explore new ideas and ways to do things, because it's kind of like, oh, you know, somebody's going to say something bad about you, call you an asshole, and don't talk to this guy because he's a Jew or something. You know, this could, you know, leave a person feeling defensive. You know, people can get defensive about things, and they kind of get a deflated ego and stuff, so they don't like to put themselves out there too much. And I think, you know, that's one of the main things with doing shows like this. I got to put myself out there all the time, and, you know, people are arguing with me in the chat room about what I'm saying. Okay, argue with me, that's fine. We can go back doing the same shit we did yesterday, and we can sit around bitching about it for another fucking 100 years. I'm trying to give people something they can do and something they can work with instead of just sitting around reacting to the situation we're in. And if that's not for you, then it's not for you. You don't have to do it and you don't have to listen to me. That's fine. I'm not going to try to change your mind, and I'm not going to argue with people about it. But if people think this is great and they think it's awesome, they can do it themselves, then more power to those people. And that's all I'm going to say about that for now. Because I got to get through this, at least this part. Because this was the important part. Of a whole goddamn rambling for the past hour and a half, this was the important part. All right. So we know there's, you know, quote-unquote haters in the outside world, and everybody judges one another in each other's head. Even if you don't say it outright, even if you don't say it to their face, a lot of people are going to judge you for whatever. And it's just a part of life. That's how things are. That's how it's always been. It's always going to be that way. And you can't let it get you can't let it get to you. You can't let it bother you. It's like, what the fuck ever? You know, if you don't like whatever I'm doing or how I feel about the world and the way it looks, well, that's your own goddamn problem. That's how people are. And that's just the way it is. And you're never really going to change that aspect about things. But what we can change is in ourselves not giving a fuck. Just don't give a fuck. I could have shortened that better, but it's just saying, just don't give a fuck. That would have been a lot easier. Okay, so the next thing I got here is you got to remain curious. You know, we got to look at different way of doing things, different way of thinking. You know, revolutionary people didn't get their unique view of life by being thick-headed, you know. You know, on the contrary, these people have learned the art of active learning. You know, becoming interested in a subject and, okay, they became interested in a subject and devoured any information on that topic at hand. You know, this allowed for continual growth of their old self. You know, they changed with the times and perfected their, you know, their status. You know, you got to rekindle that flame of educating yourselves. And you got to be open-minded about things, too. You know, you got to go out and inform yourself on certain aspects in certain situations, but always remain in the state of active learning. And we never really stop. You know, I think that's part of our problem, too, now that you think about it. We're all set in this little fucking box, and we're all set in our ways that things have to be this way. And we can't think outside that box. But I said that like 8 times tonight. So I'm not even going to talk about that again. So the other thing is, we got to take responsibility for our own actions. You know, making a mistake is, it's not that big of a deal. Like I said before, you learn from your mistakes. That's actually how most people learn things. Most people try new things and they fuck it up. That's also a point of life. You know, you try something new. Most of the times, the first time you try something, you're going to screw it up. You know, we all make mistakes, maybe more than others. I don't know. But, you know, each time, it gives you a window of opportunity to see what went wrong, which could allow us insight into how to perform, you know, that certain task or that idea that you had, how to correct it and make it better. You know, revolutionary people know to take full responsibility and not always search for a scapegoat. That's one thing, too, about nowadays. I sound like an old man. Goddamn kids nowadays don't take no fucking responsibility. But I've seen that a lot, especially, I don't know if it's like that everywhere, but where I fucking work, nobody takes responsibility for shit. Like, I didn't do it. It was somebody else. I think I'm the only person in that whole fucking place to be like, yep, I fucked up. Everybody else is trying to blame somebody else for something else. Gets on my nerves. That's the other thing. That's honor. Live up to your own fucking bullshit. You fucked it up. You fucked it up. Don't blame it on somebody else. Anyway, so people got to take responsibility for their own actions. And that's another way how you learn in life. So another thing about revolutionary people and the revolutionary mindset is actually we have to cherish the family. And that's part of our movement too, is, you know, cherishing your family and an extension cherishing your race. Because your race is an extension of your family. You know, we wouldn't be here without the family. And, you know, it's more than an immediate genetic link. You know, family begins to take on a larger meaning in the lives of people. And a family can actually, like I said earlier, it can comprise, you know, a whole town or your whole province or even your own country. Or in our case, our own people, our nation. You know, they show us power of unconditional love and the power of where that came from. We have to embrace our people, especially the people of our past and our ancestors, which we all know that. I hope you know fucking know that. If you don't know that, I don't know what the hell you're doing here. So we have to acknowledge, you know, I'm just talking about people in our own community. I'm not talking about the fucking sheep out there. So a wider system as a whole. And I think that's the other thing we don't actually do either. We used to do it more. See, I think that's part of the problem too with the internet. We don't have a real tight connection with people. So we don't even fucking know who they are. Don't even know their real names, which isn't a big deal to me. I really don't care. But we don't have that connection like you do if you know somebody face to face. So I think that's kind of one of the things that get lost too. So the other thing here is we have to discover, you know, our higher virtues, which I should have wrote these down. But like I said earlier, the old pagan ways, they did have, I think it was nine core values that people actually believed in, which I should have wrote those down here. But, you know, it was like honor and courage and a bunch of other good stuff, which I'm sure most people in the chat room who listen to this show already know. And that's another process of becoming a revolutionary person. You know, it's what washes over you when you hear them speaking. You know, it really touches the people that they're speaking to. You know, you got to have somebody with a high moral character and good virtues, or else people won't pay attention to anything you say. I mean, it's like David Duke. Fuck David Duke. That guy's a piece of crap. He's a womanizer. He's a gambler. He sold his fucking mailing list. He's always begging for money all the damn time. All right, where was I? Okay. So the other thing is, too, is we need to focus more on the message and not on the messenger. After I was just saying David Duke is a piece of crap. But see, that's the other thing, too. David Duke is kind of he's the gateway drug of white nationalism. David Duke is good for people who just started waking up. That's what David Duke's job is. That's not what my job is. Like I said before, the people who come to this site, the people who listen to this show and shows like this, they already know what the hell's going on. So I don't need to talk about whatever the hell David Duke talks about. But anyways, enough about Plastic Man. So although sometimes the line blurs in the media, the revolutionary person was very keen on keeping focused on the message. You know, the essence of humanity is what makes sure that an idea spreads and that the movement gains traction. If they could become selfless, their ideas would not be easy to attach to their moral flaws. And we all have flaws. Everybody knows that. Everybody does. Well, the point is, so instead of looking at your own flaws and what's wrong with you or whatever and all that crap, what we got to do is keep up on the message. The message is what's important more than anything else. And the other thing, we also have to not take ourselves too seriously, because a true revolutionist or revolutionary or revolutionist, whatever the word is, doesn't really take themselves too seriously. And you really can't, because you're going to be attacked by a bunch of different people, a bunch of different ways. People you thought were your friends, people you know who are your enemies, they're all going to be attacking you. And they're all going to You should see some of the fucking emails I get. Jesus fucking Christ. I don't let it bother me. You know, sometimes I'll read a couple sentences, and if it looks like it's a idiot, I'll just hit the delete button. I don't even bother anymore. I used to read them and get all worried about it, and, oh my God, people don't like me. No, fuck that. I don't care. But, yeah, we got to lighten up. Can't be all worried about what other people think about us all the time. And, you know, in order to experience and live through the changes, we have to loosen up and become more adaptive. You know, humanity's greatest skill is that of adaptation. You know, humans have been doing it for tens of thousands of years. We have adapted through everything. And that's one of our greatest skills, is being able to bend and shape our minds and our souls to fit any circumstance. So those who can't really let go and can't adapt to change are the ones who actually end up usually dead if a revolution does happen. Don't take things too seriously. You know, it's the journey is half the fun and all that Heather happy horse shit. And so the next aspect I got here is we got to take better care of ourselves. Like I said, I drink too much and whatever. And so not all revolutionary figures, you know, actually adhered to this. But sadly, you know, like they say, your body is your temple. You got to treat your temple like whatever. You know, one of the revolutionary acts is to ignite your thoughts and ideas to other people. But it's carried out by your verbiage and your physical presence. So if you look like a big old fat turd and sound like an asshole, nobody's going to listen to you. So what we got to do is start exercising and eating wisely. And there's different ideas and arguments about that, about what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat and all that crap. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you think is right. But you know, goddamn, eating Doritos and McDonald's is not good for you. So don't do that. And if you do it once in a while, fine. I don't look down on people like, oh, they eat at McDonald's. They're a fucking Jew head. No, just do it in moderation. Don't eat that crap all the time. You shouldn't be eating that crap anyways. But I'm not one of those people that are going to look down on people and get whatever. I'm getting off on another tangent that doesn't matter about anything. Anyways, so this is how, so the next thing I got here is we got to surround ourselves with the right people. Not just people. You got to surround yourself with the right people. And this is how we take things to the next level. Like-minded people to team up under a common cause. Their collective efforts complement each other. And, make the group better as a whole. You know, the one thing I never liked about groups or joining groups, it seems like, let's say you got a group of five guys. Two of the guys will work their ass off. Three of the guys will just follow along and don't do shit. So that's the problem I always had with groups, because it seems like while you're trying to pull these guys along, what you're trying to accomplish gets dragged down by them. So if you got the right people, that won't actually happen. So, knowing that acting upon the notion that people have to work together, achieve bigger and better things than really only one person working alone, so we have to surround ourselves with the right people. So, if you have everything what it takes, and, you know, sometimes it's entirely up to you, and it's entirely uniquely yours, even if you think somebody may have done an idea you've had before, they never really have, because it's yours. You know, if you have an idea, like Damon with his book, right? We can all sit there and shit on Damon and tell him it's been 100 times before. So the point is, Damon doing his book, we all can shit on him and say he's a dumbass and he's not going to do it. And it's all been done before. Well, maybe it hasn't. Maybe it might be the greatest thing ever. We don't know. Just let him do his book. Finish your fucking book, Damon. Jesus Christ. We can move on with this crap already. All right. So the first thing we got to do is you got to start doing something. Sometimes I think, like I said earlier, people sit around, they're waiting. They're waiting for something, waiting for fucking Rahola or the next Fuhrer. I don't know what the hell people are waiting for. I really have no idea what the hell they're waiting for. Not Matt Damon. All right, this is why I stopped looking at the chat room like a half an hour ago. I had to get through my notes, then I come back and you guys were all making jokes about Doritos on Big Macs or whatever. It's worse than those Taco Bell tacos with the Dorito shells. It's like, are you that fucking stoned? You gotta put Doritos on your tacos. So like I said, this is just an introductory of things that I'm going to do. And I hope you guys found this entertaining, found it, engaging or whatever the hell you found it. Think I'm a dumbass. I should just shut the hell up and never talk again. Whatever. So I hope you guys had fun. I had fun. I kind of rambled too much. I didn't get through a lot of the notes I had. Didn't get through a lot of the points I wanted to get. But I think I got the core of the situation. Yeah. I think that'll do it for tonight. Hope you guys had fun. Play us out with, what song didn't I play yet? I'm going to play us out with some Rahoa. I know What's-His-Face, Dirty Birdie, is a race-mixing douchebag, but this is a good song. Anyways, this is White Revolution.
Never even born when I get my hands on you.